John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and I'd like to invite the children to come forward.
Should I just come right away, or are you going to call me? Just come up.
Jesus loves me. Okay, so actually I'm going to move a couple of you. Can you two come over here on the other side, Pastor Michael? Thanks. All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, so I have you standing a little different than normal because we're going to play a game. We're going to play a quick game. So can you all hold hands in your line? We're going to all hold hands. And the game is called Electricity, and I'm going to start it by squeezing in a nice, loving way the hand next to me, and we're going to see if we can get it all the way down, and when we get to the end, you're going to say we love each other. Okay, you ready for that? All right. Okay, so I'm going to start. When you feel the squeeze, you pass it on. Did you pass it? Ella, did you get a squeeze? Okay, did you pass it? There you go. She was being very loving and gentle.
It was a low voltage.
Low voltage, okay. Did you get it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's see if we can do it a little faster, maybe, okay? Are we ready? You ready? Set, go. Oh, there we go. Okay, one more time. Ready, set, go. Okay, and now, Pastor Michael, I can't see you, right? Can you just go sit down? Oh, no, you can't reconnect. Yeah, let's see what happens now if we make Pastor Michael go sit down. Ready, set, go. What happens? Can you get her the squeeze if you're not connected? No. Okay, go ahead and connect. Give her a squeeze. Okay, good job. Okay, let's sit down for a minute, okay? So, good job. So what happened in our game when I took Pastor Michael out? What happened?
I didn't go.
You didn't go. You didn't have a way to go, did you? So it didn't work anymore. And in our gospel today, in the reading from John, it's kind of like this, because Jesus is saying that we're all connected in God's love. So it's kind of like that game of electricity, that God's love is in each of us, and then it flows through each of us all the way through. And when we take someone out of our community, it doesn't flow anymore. And so what we can think about is God's love being in all of us and flowing through all of us. Now, what are some ways that we can get God's love to flow besides squeezing hands? What are some things that you can do? Yeah. Yeah, you can share your love. How do you share your love? giving hugs, that's a way. Any other ideas? Do you help your sister sometimes? Yeah, you helped her get up here. That was nice. Good job. Some flowing love. Yeah. So there are things that we can do to help in the world, help in our family, and show God's love to those around us. So let's go ahead and pray. Ready? Loving Jesus, you connect us together with all your love. You tell us that love is the most important part of all our lives. May we show all people your love. Amen. All right, thank you. You can go back to your seats. I have a niece named Elsa, who is a first grader, and Elsa has a little brother, Jacob, who's 7 months old, and a little sister, Kate, who's 4 years old, and Elsa has a lot of qualities that are pretty classic firstborn, right? She's pretty reliable. She wants to please people in school. If you give her two choices, she will dutifully accept one of them, instead of coming up with a third like her little sister will do. And she takes the responsibility of being the oldest child pretty seriously, and she takes it as gift and as burden sometimes too. Elsa, when she comes home from school, really wants to be alone. She's a little bit introverted, and being in school takes a lot of energy and effort for her. But her little sister, Kate, in no way wants to be alone and definitely wants Elsa with her. And so when Elsa gets home, Kate will just be on her and need to play. And Elsa will take a deep breath and maybe give a big sigh and an eye roll, but she will play with her little sister. And she even often brings her the lollipop that she earned for doing her work at school, because she knows it will make Kate happy and maybe make her leave her alone for a minute too. Well, my mom, so their grandma, who they call Abby, which is a different story, but she was visiting recently and helping take care of the kids, and Elsa was playing with her little brother Jacob, and he was in this onesie, this t-shirt that said, "All I need is love." And my mom said, "Elsa, you're so good with Jacob, but his shirt says, 'All I need is love,' and that's just not true, is it?" And Elsa said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "Well, he needs a lot more than love. He needs to be fed, and he needs his diaper changed, and you have to hold him to help him sit up, and when he cries, you have to get mama. He's a lot of work. He needs more than love." And Elsa looked at her a little confused and said, "But Abby, all those things are love." And I should probably sit down and just let Elsa have the sermon today. But since I'm here, I'll say a little bit more. Elsa's vision and connection to love is one that she embodies and understands in her young mind as connected to her thoughts and her heart and her actions. Love is not always what she feels like doing, and love is not always easy. But love is connection, and it is grace. And it is that which anchors her intimately to her little brother and sister, and therefore intimately with the Holy Spirit. Love is not simply what one receives, it is what one gives back and lives into with every diaper changing and every lollipop given away. This simple embodiment and definition of love for Elsa is one that comes from Scripture, really, but also comes from a not so simple words and time and experiences of Jesus and the disciples, of the community that is alive during when John is writing this gospel, and how we hear the words today. So Jesus is in the middle of saying goodbye to his disciples. He's preparing them that he will die. And he has changed them from servants into friends through the words that he has been saying over the past several chapters. And then those who were hearing these words at the time of the writer of John, it is really a complicated time to be an early Christian. They're under persecution from Rome. They've been separated, their temples destroyed, and they're separated, totally disconnected from their former Jewish leadership, synagogue, and community. And the words come to us today in a world that has a lot of hard things to love. And yet the vision that Jesus is casting here is still the same in all those places. Live alongside those hard things and live in the love and joy of being connected to one another through and in me, because you are my friends and together we are connected to God for the sake of the world. This is Jesus' vision of connection and grace. And his vision comes together in a couple of different ways in this text in particular. First of all, the ideal of friendship in this world was really important, and it stood in contrast to the master-slave or master-servant type of relationship. And there were two kinds of friendship. There was political friendship, which was more of the transaction kind, the client-patron type of friendship. And there was also one that was called kinship. And kinship was the friendship that was reciprocal, that you may rely on someone else and they would rely on you for other things. And this concept extended beyond the immediate family, it extended beyond those close relationships out into the community. And it went as far as being willing to defend another person and being willing to lay down your life for the other. And so Jesus here calls the disciples friends, brings them out of that master-servant type of relationship, and infuses them with the same gifts that he embraces from the Spirit of God. And in this way of friendship, he is preparing them that he will lay down his life for them. In the Gospel of John, we don't have the Last Supper like the other Gospels. We have Jesus serving and washing the disciples' feet. So the symbol of community isn't bread and wine here. It's a wash basin and a towel. And so Jesus laying down his life is not so much a sacrificial atoning for them, but more of a proof of God's love for them and for humanity. The second thing that's happening in this scripture is that while Jesus is bringing about this quality of equalness and community, he's also maintaining his own separateness, because he remains the source of this friendship and this love. He is still the vine that we heard about last week. He is still the vine from which we grow and from which we are called to bear fruit. This love is gift, and this love is command. So we hold these two in tension. The gift of love is given, and the call to love one another as friends in kinship. And in this tension, Jesus, if you hear that other word, promises another gift, promises joy. Now, coming up with a nice, clear definition and explanation of joy is not so simple. And yet, it still brings with it this call to the simplicity of abiding with Jesus. Joy is the embodiment of happiness. Joy is a choice on how to live and see the world. Joy goes beyond feelings and anchors itself to Christ's promise. In the Book of Joy, which is by the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu, an excellent book, living in joy is explored in a lot of different ways. It's explored through their friendship, through their very different religions, through their spiritual practices, and through their big encounters with injustice and with violence and with addressing peace and nonviolence on a global scale. But one of the things that Desmond Tutu says in exploring joy is discovering more joy does not save us from the inevitability of hardship and heartbreak. In fact, we may cry more easily, but we will laugh more easily too. And perhaps we are just more alive. Yet as we discover more joy, we can face suffering in a way that emboldens and ennobles rather than embitters. We can have hardship without becoming hard. We can have heartbreaks without being broken. The command of living in joy and connection with one another is that we will face hardship and heartbreak. And we are to keep walking in that vision of love anyway. Walk in love with that little brother or sister. Walk in love with the difficult coworker or the grumpy neighbor. Walk in love with the bigger issues of our world, from violence and terror to poverty and illness. We are called to encounter them all from a place of love that is embodied in what we say and what we do and how we express our hearts. This is true for how we live in our households and in our closest relationships in our community, and it is true for how we live in the bigger picture as Christians in this world. The promise of living in joy and love connected to Christ is that we will not be abandoned and that we won't be completely broken regardless of what comes our way. In fact, we are chosen. Jesus says here, "I choose you. I bring you the Father's love." This divine love is now a part of who you are and how you live into the promise. We are chosen to be in this world, in this time and place. We are chosen to abide in Jesus, to be those voices and hands and feet that are love. We are chosen in the fullness and completeness of God's love and joy in the very vision of the world God made and loves and embraces. So may we sing our next hymn together, "Jesu, fill us with your love." May we sing it as a prayer and as a hope and as a promise. And may it be so. Jesus, fill us with your love.